With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
Brady is better, for sure. You know why? Because Brady would have been a great quarterback wherever he went. The greatness is inside Tom Brady.
Now, even a telemarketer like me can feel like an MVP.
Yeah! Brady has something in him that can lead, and he's clutch. He's just excellent. Brady would be great no matter what.
You know what? I could yell. I could scream. But you know what? One of us has to be the mature one. And it ain't gonna be me, Jemima!
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
And now Josh Gordon is back. That, right now, is approaching a best-case scenario situation. The big X factor that still remains, I think, to me, is Demaryius Thomas. Because that was a guy that he's a seasoned veteran. He's been around the league. He's been productive.
Okay, I see. So y'all want to play. Y'all want to play. Yeah, okay, we're going to play little games. I'll play.
Yeah, I'm not even thinking about Demaryius Thomas. I don't even include him when I'm talking about this. Because I'm not confident that he'll even be on the team. B, I'm not confident that he can stay healthy for more than a couple of games.
Oh my God, Claire just got shot.
What? No!
Oh, it just came through the window. It was a bullet. What? Here in the neck. Oh, Claire's down.
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming at ya!
All right, hour two of the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI. Mark Dondero, Ben Kitchen here in Providence, 401-737-1287 is the phone number. You heard a little sound in the open there of Max Kellerman of ESPN. Basically what he was doing, there was an exercise that he dove into on...
Kegels, right? Sorry, go ahead. I couldn't help myself. I'm a child. What was this exercise he was doing?
They're beneficial.
They are.
Yeah. So he was talking about whether or not Tom Brady was the GOAT and the boat, and the boat is the best of all time. So the GOAT, greatest of all time, boat, best of all time. Basically what he was saying is, yeah, his resume stacks up as he is the greatest of all time, and he acknowledged that. But is he the best player of all time when you factor in talent and all the other things that are associated with being a pro athlete, an NFL player, whatever it is? Let's hear some more sound from Max Kellerman.
Because he's the GOAT, may not be the boat. The best of all time. Aaron Rodgers better than him, but he hasn't been surrounded in the same situation, et cetera, et cetera.
You just make that up, the boat, or
yes.
People really say
he's,
no.
That's what I'm
great
saying.
Mark.
Now they'll start saying it.
Wow.
He is the GOAT, clearly. And yes, he gets too much credit. Because he is the GOAT for the reasons I just said. If Philip Rivers wants to make the following point, I'm with it. He had Belichick. He had a perfect situation. Belichick also had him, yes. But you know who else Belichick had? Take a look at this.
Okay. So I'd like your take on Max Kellerman's take that Brady is not the boat, he's the GOAT. Because the resume, you cannot argue with the resume.
Sure.
But he's not the best of all time. What do you think?
Okay.
And if he isn't, who is?
All right. I understand what he's trying to do there. Are we sticking to quarterbacks or NFL players? Let me stick to quarterbacks because that's what I know best. First of all, he talked about giving too much credit to Brady because of Belichick. Well, how come you don't take points away from Rodgers? You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you giving him so much credit but you don't take anything away from them when they only make one Super Bowl? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So at least play the game fair, Max. But best of all time with regards to Aaron Rodgers? No. He's not the greatest of all time. He's not the best of all time to do it. Success does matter. There's a couple of quarterbacks I will take over Aaron Rodgers any day of the week through history. Not now in the NFL, but through history. Steve Young. He's comparable to Steve Young. I'll take Steve Young. All right? Less time and also same amount of rings. I'll take Elway over him.
Definitely Elway.
And you know what? The guy that was just behind Brady in terms of greatest of all time, I'll take him over Aaron Rodgers too, and Joe Montana.
Best of all time or greatest of all time?
I'll take Joe Montana being better than Aaron Rodgers.
Talent-wise?
Talent-wise, I'm sticking with Steve Young. I'm sticking with Steve Young. What couldn't he do?
So, okay.
There was talent-wise, okay. There was nothing Steve Young couldn't do. But we're not... See, that's the thing is, talent doesn't just... You have to get results.
Right.
So, you can be really talented and never win. What does that mean? It means you're a loser.
Right. The talent is great, but if the talent never materializes into championships or... Championships. I mean, that's all it really is about when you're talking about anything of all time. It's about championships. What good is it? So I don't really know how you get into that discussion. So is Tom Brady the best of all time, according to Max Kellerman's definition? Well, is he the best of all time?
I think his definition is stupid.
Is he the best of all time?
Yeah. You know why? Jewelry. He's got more rings than anyone else, playing the most important position in the game.
Okay.
He's the best of all time. He's the greatest of all time.
So let's spin it.
Let's spin it
a little bit. Who is the best golfer of all time? Jack Nicklaus, 18 majors, or Tiger Woods, 15 majors?
Jack.
Greatest of all time and best of all time?
No, I'll go with Tiger as being best.
Why? Because it's close?
It is really close.
See,
and I think he had more talent than Jack. Jack had the better killer instinct, maybe. I don't know. The golf is a tough one. I thought you were going to go to the basketball one.
Well, the basketball one, he thinks that Jordan was the GOAT and the BOAT, the greatest and the best.
If I'm going to play by Max's rules here, then Jordan wasn't the greatest of all time. It was Bill Russell. And it's not close. It's actually 5 rings away. So if we're playing by Max's rule, and he likes to change the rules based on, you know, crapping on Brady and floating up Aaron Rodgers for some reason. If we're going to play that, then Bill Russell was the greatest of all time. And sure, Jordan could be the best of all time. But let me go back to the NFL real quick in the quarterback position. If we're going to go talent and ability, then why isn't Michael Vick the best of all time? No one could run like Michael Vick at his position. No one could cause problems for defenses like Michael Vick could at his position. He had plenty of arm talent. He could make plenty of throws. The only thing he couldn't do with his arm is he couldn't take a little bit off and have a touch pass. Other than that, he could do everything. So why is Aaron Rodgers better than Michael Vick?
That's a great point, and I think that goes with what I was going to say, because I was going to mention a guy named Lenny Cook. Now, if you don't know who he is, look him up. He was a high schooler. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
The high school recruit. He was the year before LeBron James.
Yes.
But a lot of people thought he was better than LeBron James. Whatever reason, he ended up a bust. He didn't play his senior year of high school. He got fat. I don't know what happened. But he ended up a bust. And talent-wise, all the scouts would have said he was the best. So you can't play that talent game, because there's a lot of reasons why talent doesn't, you know, emerge as the reason you become the greatest of all time. It's about will and work ethic. And
being in the right place at the right time, a little bit of luck. There's so much that goes into it. And you know what? I'll throw another quarterback out there, and I'll go towards our audience's demo more than ours, who's better at what Aaron Rodgers does than Aaron Rodgers ever has been. Roger Staubach. Captain America was better, period.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go by talent, that's a guy you can put ahead of Rodgers too.
This is a complicated discussion. I liked what you said about Bill Russell and Michael Jordan. I think that was an apt comparison,
and
I think that was a valid point.
Off of Max's guidelines for his own dumbass take.
But let me just tell you why I don't agree with his take about the boat and the goat in relationship to Brady and Rodgers.
Sure.
If you're going to do that, and I get what he's doing, and I'm not opposed to it in certain situations. If you're going to do that, though, and say that this guy, because of his resume, is the greatest of all time, but this guy, because of his talent, is the best of all time, the discrepancy cannot be one Super Bowl and one Super Bowl appearance to 6 Super Bowl wins and 9 Super Bowl appearances. I don't care about Bill Belichick. I don't care about the organization. Can't be that far off. If you're going to do that, you have to do it like in golf, Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus. If you want to make the argument that Tiger is the best of all time, despite Jack being the greatest of all time, because you can't argue with 4 more majors. 4 majors is a Hall of Fame career in golf. You can't argue with that. Jack Nicklaus is still the greatest of all time. But if you want to say Tiger is the best of all time because he has 15 majors and because his highlights and the talent was just so off the charts and his dominance, the level of dominance was so off the charts, then fine, you can make that argument. But one Super Bowl to six, too far off. Can't say he's the best of all time. I don't care what his talent level is. You can't do it. Brady, I agree with you. He's the greatest of all time. And by the way, Tom Brady, some pretty good highlights. You know, he doesn't run like Aaron Rodgers. He might not throw the ball quite as far.
Yeah, tell that to Brian Urlacher.
He can throw the damn ball. Yeah. He has deep ball highlights, all kinds of highlights and good throws and great plays. You want to put that package together, it'll look good. Brady, I agree, the greatest of all time and the best of all time. Because there's no argument in my mind.
And I'm not buying this whole Aaron Rodgers is the most physically talented quarterback either. He's not. He's really, really good. Don't get me wrong. I sometimes make it sound like Aaron Rodgers kind of sucks. He doesn't. He's really, really good. But we're forgetting about all these great quarterbacks that played before him that were probably better. John Elway was better. Steve Young, better. Roger Staubach, better. Joe Montana, better. Tom Brady, better. And you know what? I'll take another guy who doesn't have a Super Bowl win and same amount of appearances as Aaron Rodgers. I'll take him over Aaron Rodgers. Dan Marino. If Dan Marino played in today's NFL, he'd be setting a record every single year. He was that more physically gifted in terms of a thrower than anyone else ever.
Yeah, he was ahead of his time. But like I said.
And so then we kind of hold it against him because he played in an era where running was a hell of a lot more important. Defense could maul wide receivers sure. And play very differently.
I just think, like I said, you cannot have the discrepancy in the resume that Brady and Rodgers have to make Max Kellerman's point that Aaron Rodgers is the best of all time. It has to be closer. It has to be like golf where Tiger Woods has four less majors. He has 15. Jack is 18. So Jack is the greatest of all time. Tiger's the best of all time. I'll accept
sure,
that, and I agree with
maybe,
that.
And I'm not a huge golf guy, so it's not my wheelhouse. But, you know, maybe because Tiger was so overwhelmingly dominating his competition, but for a much shorter period of time, whereas Jack had a longer run. Maybe he wasn't quite as dominant from the separation between him and the next guys, but he was consistently winning.
I think when you have this conversation, the eye test comes into play. What did they look like on the field, on the court, you know, between the ropes? Tiger, his talent, just wowed you. It made your jaw drop. The shots, the dominance, the flair on the course, the edge he played with, all of that plays into it. The visuals that he put out there, the chip-in on the 16th hole of the 2005 Masters. All of that mattered, and that plays into are you the best of all time? Because you remember those things, the Michael Jordan highlights and all those things. That's why I always say Jordan, the one thing he really has over Kobe Bryant and LeBron James is the creativity. Those visuals, the highlights, those things matter. So that's why I accept Tiger Woods as the best of all time, despite the fact Jack Nicklaus is inarguably the greatest of all time with the resume.
Okay, so yeah, do you agree with me then? If we're playing that game, those rules, that Jordan's the best of all time, but Bill Russell's the greatest of all time?
I don't know.
11-6. 11 championships, 8 in a row. He won more in a row than Jordan won in his entire career.
Yeah.
The resume
I'd agree.
The resume is far greater for Russell than it is for Jordan.
Even though Jordan was probably more talented, could do more.
That's why we're saying best of all time.
But Russell still could do a lot. It's not like Russell was this one dimension. I mean, he scored, he blocked shots, he was a good rebounder.
He was nearly a 20-point-per-game guy for his career.
Yeah.
And that was the weaker part of his game.
Different era of basketball. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess I'd agree with that. He's the greatest of all time in terms of...
If we're playing by Max's rules.
Max's rules.
I wouldn't say Russell was a greater basketball player, whatever,
no.
than Jordan. But if we're playing by that and we're going by resume, then you got to start rethinking everything. If we're adding resume and we're balancing resume versus talent, I'll take resume.
That's why it's too complicated of a discussion.
Yeah, that's why, because he's just making
things
up.
The Michael Vick point was a good one. That talent, the guy's talent, was off the charts.
Or Randall Cunningham.
The talent was off the charts, but all that matters is what you do. So it's a stupid argument.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, I know, and that's Max comes up with really dumb arguments to try and fit his point of talking down Brady and floating up Aaron Rodgers.
In order for Aaron Rodgers to be in that discussion, he has to win more. He had to win like Tiger. Tiger was close enough to Jack Nicklaus that you could say he was the best of all time, despite Jack Nicklaus still being the greatest of all time.
It would have to be like Nadal Sampras, you know, and not Nadal Michael Chang. I know more tennis than I do golf. Sorry.
Hey, there's some good there used to be some Americans that played tennis back in the 90s.
I love tennis.
Jim Courier.
Andre Agassi.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the biggest name. Pete Sampras was the best in the world.
Here's another example.
88 U.S. Open with underhand serve.
Real quick, here's another example. We've talked about this. I think Rafa Nadal has a more impressive... I think he's the best of all time, more so than Pete Sampras, because I think he has a more impressive resume than Roger Federer.
Mm.
Because Nadal beat Federer at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Federer never could beat Nadal on clay at Roland Garros. Now, I'm not going to get into that that discussion, but that's sort of where you go. And then we're talking about talent. It gets a little murky.
Yeah, well, Djokovic is probably more talented than either of those guys.
But what I do know is, like I said, you can't have the conversation with Aaron Rodgers, because all that talent, it didn't get him close enough to Tom Brady resume-wise.
Are we not a results business?
Right.
The results speak for themselves. And if you think Belichick... Tom had such this great advantage with Belichick. Aaron Rodgers had McCarthy, but go back and read that Bleacher Report article. You don't see that same stuff come from Tom Brady. Tom Brady's more about winning, whereas Aaron Rodgers was more about being the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah, and don't think all those things don't matter. I know that's
they
not,
do matter.
That's stuff
the
you
point.
Measure at the combine, but Aaron Rodgers being a bad teammate, that has been a huge reason why they haven't had more success.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big part of team sports.
Okay, so let's go with it. Is the ability to get along with your coworkers a talent?
I say yes,
okay,
it is.
Tom Brady's a better talent or more talented than Aaron Rodgers. If you're just looking at physical gifts, you're doing this wrong and you don't get it. You do not get it.
That's correct.
Because most of it is between the ears.
Correct. And I think it's also a talent, or it manifests itself as a talent, work ethic, and will, and the chip on your shirt, and all those things. I mean, and you know what else, too? Love of the game. Brady loves football. You don't think that's a talent? You don't think that's something that he has that puts him at an advantage over other people?
Sure.
I mean, that's something you need to factor in if you're going to... Everybody just wants to talk about physical gifts. Well... It only takes, especially in football, they only take you so far. You can't have the conversation with Aaron Rodgers. He's not in that conversation. He's a really good, talented guy. You want to say he's the most talented quarterback playing right now or something like
that?
You're
wrong.
Well, you could say that.
You could, but you're still wrong.
But it's not the whole thing about, if you're going to talk about of all time, he's not in any of those discussions.
If I'm looking at physical gifts, there's two guys that I'm taking over him right now in the league.
There's one.
Two for me.
Who?
Mahomes and Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
What can Aaron Rodgers do that Wilson can't? Seriously.
Nothing.
They're
right.
Very,
right.
Very, very similar.
Here's the thing. The bottom line is this. Aaron Rodgers should not be associated with any conversation that has to do with of all time.
I agree.
He is not anything of all time. Maybe the worst teammate of all time. But anything positive, there is nothing I want to hear about Aaron Rodgers is the greatest of all time, the best of all time. He is nothing of all time.
Yeah, he's in the bad team in Hall of Fame with Terrell Owens.
He is right there with Michael Vick, a super talented quarterback. He did win one Super Bowl. Vick never got to a Super Bowl. He is a super talented quarterback that basically underachieved. So there's nothing of all time associated with Aaron Rodgers that is positive. Nothing, and I don't want to hear it anymore.
Okay.
All right. When we get back, we're gonna talk. There's one point about college football I want to make. I know this is a big college football situation, region, whatever. And I also want to talk about the Patriots roster. What is your backup quarterback? What does your quarterback depth chart look like, Ben? This is the Mark.
We now return to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show. 401-737-1287 is the phone number. You can text 37937. I'm going to try to look at the text more. So the Patriots, it was interesting. Obviously, there was a lot of buzz created the other night when, after Tom Brady exited the game, Jared Stidham entered the game. Did you read into that at all? And what was your takeaway? And what do you want the quarterback situation, the quarterback room and depth chart to look like for the Patriots right now?
All right, starting at the top of what I read into that with Stidham coming in to replace Brady was that they know what Hoyer is, they know what they can get out of him, but they're still a little unsure about what Jared Stidham is. That's what I read into it, is they want to give this kid as much time and as many reps as possible because they already know what Hoyer can do or can't do.
Okay. So we agree there. What do you want the room to look like, the depth chart to look like?
I want them to keep three.
Really?
I do want them to keep three because I want you can't really rely on Stidham. You really don't know what he is against ones. You know what he is against backups, which is fine.
Sure.
I don't care all that much. But the other thing, and I mentioned it when I was speaking with Eric Scalvino earlier, one of the things that Hoyer has been very good for the Patriots with is being able to be a scout team quarterback during the week and replicate other quarterbacks to prepare the defense for that style. So I still want that around for another year. Plus, Tim's a rookie. You know, I don't want that guy being the singular backup to Tom Brady. I think you win game. Brian Hoyer can win you enough games. I'm not saying he can win you a Super Bowl. Hoyer nor Stidham can win you a Super Bowl. So I'd rather have the guy that can leave you in the best position, and that's Hoyer right now.
So I agree. My preference would be Brian Hoyer and then Jared Stidham.
Yes.
And they keep both, and they can find a way to keep both. Because Stidham is intriguing enough that I'd like to see him stick around and see what comes of him and how he develops. But if you're talking about winning now and replicating the other quarterback on the other team and doing that and having the rapport with not just Tom Brady in the room, but the scout team and just that whole process, I think Brian Hoyer is more effective at that. Not to mention, if he had to come into a game, he's not a rookie, he's not as green. So yeah, I like that.
And he knows how to win games in the NFL.
I'll say this though. If Bill unequivocally concludes that Jared Stidham is better and he's the number two, he's the backup, you've got to get rid of Brian Hoyer. I don't want three in that situation. So hopefully Hoyer wins the backup role. And they can keep the three, and they don't really need... I mean, I know they lost Brandon King the other night. That's terrible. But the good news... You know what? Overall, the good news... I know, like I just said, King went out. The preseason's essentially over. And they're pretty healthy.
Yeah, for the most
part.
Well, the Watson one doesn't matter anyway.
No,
he's missing the first month regardless.
Right, yeah.
So that doesn't matter. You know, Van Noy ended up getting back on the field.
Yeah.
So you're not all that worried about that one. There's a couple of guys that you're like, okay, you got dinged up a little bit.
I mean, Harry, I wish he was healthy. But for the most part, I'm talking about season-ending injuries in the preseason. There was really no Jeremy Hill this year. I mean, like I said, I hate seeing Brandon King. He's a core special teamer. But you can replace core special teamers.
You can make 50 phone calls and find 50 guys that can replicate.
There's no season-ending injury to a prominent rookie.
Particularly to a running back or wide receiver, really.
Yeah.
I mean, one of those areas that you'd start to be concerned at with the depth.
I'm pretty pleased.
Yeah.
For the most part. We'll see what happens in the fourth. I mean, obviously, some of the guys are going to have to play in the fourth preseason game. Is Chase Winovich going to get the whole game off? I mean, I don't know.
Like, I'd like to see him get more reps. My one area of concern with Chase Winovich, and you saw it. I think you saw it in game three. He just needs to get a little bit stronger because he gets good, he gets a good jump off the line. He gets and he initiates contact very quickly with the offensive lineman. He needs to be a little bit stronger to be more effective. But other than that, I like what I see out of that kid. His motor is high and he is going. So I like what I see out of him. I just want him to be a little bit stronger and that's going to come. So I don't have a whole lot of worries with him.
Overall, the defense looks, So I've been waiting for years for this. It appears that they are all in. They want to have an attacking defense, a defense that can keep other teams down. They are not, bend but don't break does not seem to be in the lexicon this year. I mean, that is something that I feel like is a thing of the past.
Yeah, it's bend then snap.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Break them.
Yeah, whatever. You know what
this
I'm trying to say.
This is a defense that maybe is the most talented one they've had. I mean, we'll see what happens. Stephon Gilmore, maybe the best in the league.
I still stick with
four. No, you're right.
But best in the league is certainly possible.
But those linebackers, if Bentley continues to have that arrow pointing up and plays the way he played to start the season last year, and then you've got guys, Collins is back. If he has a Patrick Chung-like reemergence on the Patriots, and then
what? What are you saying?
And then so it's Collins, and then obviously Hightower and Van Noy, like I said earlier, playing the best football of his career. Them combined with the experience and talent in the secondary, combined with the promise of the defensive line. I mean, damn, I can't wait to see it. Now, speaking of Patrick Chung.
Who goes skiing in June at Sugarloaf?
Look at man.
Patrick Chung.
Can't have that. But do I care? I don't really care. I don't think it's going to. No. Is he going to play? Well, I mean, what's the end game here?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm confused. Is he going to be conveniently suspended yet also kind of hurt at the same time, and it works out where he was going to miss that time regardless?
Here's what I would rather talk about.
Let me throw it in really quickly. Yeah. Pot, I certainly don't care about. You should be allowed to smoke pot in the NFL instead of me shoveling 100%, down all 100%. These pharmaceutical painkillers.
Yep.
Coke,
it's a little more hardcore.
I don't like it. It's not heroin.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Coke isn't life-destroying like some of these other drugs are. It's a party drug, whatever.
I mean, you can destroy bad things.
Yeah, you can lend bias yourself.
Yeah.
You certainly can. But, it's not quite as horrific as certain these. It could have been much worse. That's all I'll say. It could have been much worse.
I mean, look, it's stupid.
Yes.
Deal with it. Belichick, league, suspend him. I don't care. And we'll see him when he gets back.
Crush up some Adderall. You get a similar situation going, and then you don't get popped.
Here's what I'm more interested in. What would have happened? What is your prediction? Or what would have happened had Steve Burton, during the halftime interview, asked Bill Belichick about Patrick Chung's situation?
He might have got punched in the face.
I watched for that specific moment.
I love those interactions.
I love them.
This is what it would have. We were talking about the players that are here. They're playing in the game. And then when you ask him about a player in the game, I'm just here to talk about the team. He's such a dick.
Yep.
But it's great.
It's great. Especially Steve Burton, because he's kind of car salesman-y, and he's trying to be all uppity. And, hey, Bill, we're all on the same team here. He's wearing the Patriots polo.
And Bill likes him.
Yeah,
Bill
he does.
Respects
he does.
Him as a guy
he does.
And respects his but father.
He's got to do what he's got to do. Yeah. And sometimes he gets mad, and I love seeing Steve's reaction to it.
The best is when he gets nothing. And he has that kind of weird smile like, okay, back up to you.
But following the interaction that was centered around, what was the one the week before? The Josh Gordon statement.
Yeah.
Following that one, to ask about the cocaine bust halftime, that would have been great. I understand why he
didn't. Listen, if there's ever a coach that knows how to deal with a player with a coke problem, it's Bill Belichick, because he had the poster boy in Lawrence Taylor.
He did. So, okay.
Why? Coke? It's a crap drug. It's done in a few minutes. And I know why you're doing it, because it's also out of your system in a few days.
Yeah.
So you can get away with doing it. But it's not really that fun.
Okay.
I'm just giving a little life lesson out there.
Thank you.
Don't do coke. It's not worth it. It's too expensive for the high it gives you.
So the college football season begins tonight.
Was that the best anti-drug campaign you heard? It's too expensive and the high is not good enough.
The kids out there.
Should I be a DARE officer?
Changing the world, yeah. Well done. If you haven't seen the Michael Irvin hype video, he goes crazy. Speaking of being on something, he is going nuts about this Miami-Florida game.
As he should.
I mean, he's just go online, go on Twitter and find that video. It's just great. He's crazy. I'm a little disappointed, though, because college football to me has turned into, if not worse, it has at least turned into the NBA. Because is there any doubt who is going to wind up in that championship game?
No.
There is absolutely no doubt. None. It will be, you go to the bank, it'll be Clemson and Alabama.
Yeah.
You don't even need to watch this season. Now, there's some intrigue. Can Michigan beat Ohio State this year?
Hasn't it been this way for a while, though?
Not like this. Where there's two teams that meet in the championship game every year. It's arguably worse than Cleveland and Golden State in the NBA.
Okay.
Because there's no way. The ACC is not good. Clemson is dominant. They will roll through the ACC.
Yes.
And then Tua and Alabama, no way. Even if they lose a game, they'll get into the playoff. And then they'll win the games in the playoffs. Yeah. And they'll get into the championship game and they'll face off against Clemson. It's disappointing because I love college. I'm a big college football guy, but a big draw to, and I didn't hate the BCS either. I think overall the playoff format, honestly, has been disappointing.
Well,
a little bit, because it's nice that two other teams get a crack at the national title.
Yes.
But they never win. There's no upsets, really. They never really win.
That's the point. That's where it's been disappointing. It's the right format.
Yeah.
It's the right setup. It just, you have Alabama ruining it every year, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, last year Notre Dame was there, and they were going to play, and then Clemson blew them out. I mean, it just really hasn't. It hasn't applied the drama that I was hoping it would.
Yeah, the difference is, because I was thinking back and I was like, well, you know, it was class specific before when you had a team that was consistently there, whether it was USC with Pete Carroll consistently there,
yeah,
but kind of class specific, although you had a little bit of back and forth with from Palmer to Leinart.
Yeah.
But I was thinking also back to the 90s when it seemed like Florida was always going to contend or Florida State, but then I was like, wait, no. Because then you had a couple of years there in the middle with Nebraska was the top dog. And you've had years where Miami was the top dog or
right.
Texas.
But it was never the same two. It might have been the
You're
same
right.
team dominating. But both teams
You're
that
right.
meet every time, that sucks. Because I'm telling you right now, it's Alabama-Florida. I'm sorry, Alabama and Clemson. Those are who's going to be in the national title game. That sucks. We know it right now. August, I mean, the season has started, and we know who's going to be in the title game.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
No question.
Because you want to see more, specifically some of these more historic teams, Texas, Oklahoma, you want to see them more involved. I mean, Oklahoma you still see involved. But Texas you want to see more involved. USC you want to see more involved. You want to see other these legendary programs. Florida feels like they've been irrelevant for years.
Since Urban Meyer left. The only drama associated with this season other than who wins the title game, that game that we know who's going to be in it, is can Michigan beat Ohio State? Now that Urban Meyer's gone, can Jim Harbaugh finally get to the playoffs? They'll lose. They won't win in the playoff.
Yep.
But can they get there? That's the only question I have. That's the only intrigue. Everything else, if you want to talk about who wins the Heisman,
who cares?
Probably Trevor Lawrence. But
does it matter
that's it.
Who
that's
wins
it.
The Heisman?
That's it. It will be Clemson. It will be Alabama in the title game. And everything, it's August 24th. On January 9th, we will finally have some drama to the college football season. So enjoy college football. All right, when we get back, I have a couple questions. We're going to do the producer question, but I have one question for you before that. This is the Mark Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEI.
We now return to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEI.
All right, this is Mark and Kitchen Show. The producer question is coming up. Dwight Howard signed with the Lakers. Do you like that?
Yeah, non-guaranteed contract. Hell yeah. Smart move. Smart move by the Lakers and smart move by Howard. He still can play some defense and can still gobble up plenty of rebounds. So
a source told ESPN, Adrian Wojnarowski, disrupt the team and you'll be gone.
Yeah, I don't.
So there you go.
This is his last chance.
Yeah, oh yeah. Okay, so quick question. I saw this on social media, liked it. If there was one sporting event that happened prior to social media.
So, okay.
That you wish you could have tweeted about when it was going on, but it happened prior to social media, so you couldn't, what would it have been?
Let's say prior to Twitter, because social media started.
Yeah, prior to Twitter.
2004 with Facebook, you know
sure,
what I mean?
Prior to Twitter.
Prior to Twitter.
Twitter was like 08, 09, something like that.
Yeah, 09, I believe.
Okay.
And I'd been on it since 10.
Okay.
First one that came to mind was the 99 All-Star game, because that seems something that's tailor-made for tweeting about in the moment. That is where I would initially go. But then when I think back on it, I'll take one singular game. I was going to say a Super Bowl, but not the Super Bowl. I'll go with the snowball game against the Raiders.
Ah, that's okay.
Was that where you were going to go?
No, it's not. But that was the other one that I was thinking of. If I didn't. Actually, I just thought of that before you said it. But that's a great one.
It literally
one.
Just hit me.
That's a great one.
Because then I thought, first of all, the optics of the game were really cool.
Yeah.
Snowy out and everything like that. You had this come-up team against this other team that seemed like they were unbeatable in the Raiders. You had really cool stories throughout it. And if you're local, what Jermaine Wiggins did in that game was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. And then you have the Tuck Rule.
Yeah.
So there's a lot there to have fun tweeting about.
The first one I thought of was the 04 ALCS Game 7.
Ooh.
That would have just been a party. And
ooh,
the reaction
yeah.
post-game and all the behind the scenes and the Yankee fans. And you know, imagine if Barstool was involved in that game with all the rivalries they have there and they're in New York. That would have been an awesome thing to see play out on social media.
I was nine.
Snowball's right there, though.
I think I was 19 when that happened, 2004.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was 19. Yeah. And my brother's 6 years older than me, and I remember him calling me after that game, not the World Series, but after Game 7 of the ALCS. And we were both kind of talking like, I don't know what to do now.
Yeah.
Like, what do we do now?
I know.
This is weird. Because you almost thought, they're going to win it. And
I remember when the World Series started, it wasn't even a thing to me.
No.
Because they had beaten the Yankees. It wasn't even something I was worried about.
And
it was a foregone conclusion.
I was so confused, too, at the time, because it seemed like everybody and their mother was picking the Cardinals. Because they did have a ton of talent. But I'm like, did you not just see what the Red Sox just did here?
Oh, man.
Like
the easiest money you would have ever won.
When you're hot, you're hot.
Yeah.
And you're unbeatable. And they were hot and unbeatable at that point.
I didn't even consider
the
possibility that they could have lost. They beat the Yankees the way they did, coming back and lose the World Series. It wasn't even a possibility. The World Series celebration started for me the night they beat the Yankees. And that was it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It did. It absolutely did. I mean, the last four games of that series were all essentially Twitter worthy because they had those huge moments.
Sock,
whether it's a David Ortiz walk off, you got the sock in six, and then you've got Dave Roberts steal. There's so much there that could have been you had fun with.
Okay, so we have the producer question this week. Devin laid on me.
All right, question this week: what is one movie that you would be embarrassed to admit that you actually love?
That's a great question. I'll start.
Okay.
So the one movie that I would, I guess, be embarrassed to admit that I love.
Sure.
I watch it anytime it's on. Summer Catch. Love the movie. Now, here's the thing. Jess Biel.
That the pool scene. Good grief.
Summer Catch is the movie. Jess Biel. The pool scene. Good grief. Thank you. I mean, she looks great in that movie.
Hell yeah.
Baseball.
Prime
Jess Biel. Baseball, Cape Cod. There is a cameo appearance by Ken Griffey Jr. at the end of the movie. Absolutely. I'll watch it anytime it's on. I know it's a chick flick and this and that, and it's not really good. It did terrible at the box office. I don't care. I love it. I'll watch it every single time. I love, just like that guy liked a big ass in the movie, he declared it in front of the bar.
No, Summer Catch. He liked a big girl. Period.
Oh, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That's right.
I haven't seen it for a long time, but I remember enough of it. Do you remember what college he went to play for at the end of the movie? Didn't he get kicked out of BC?
Framingham State.
Framingham baby.
State.
Hometown.
Yeah.
I always remember that. Home of the Framingham State Rams. I got one for you. That's worse than that.
Okay.
Because at least it's got some baseball to it.
Yeah.
And the only thing that's redeeming about this movie is the three main female characters are absolutely stunning. The movie is called John Tucker Must Die.
I've heard of it.
It is so unbelievably bad.
But you like it.
But I like it. And I'll watch it.
You're a movie guy.
I am.
Who's in that movie? I've heard of it.
I couldn't tell
you. God damn it. Who's in the movie?
Any of the names. It was that.
John Tucker Must Die.
John Tucker Must Die.
I remember it. Who's in it?
It was one of the kids that was in Desperate Housewives for a little while. I say kid. He was 20 or something like that. And
what was it about?
It was about these three girls that are very popular in high school, and John Tucker comes to town or something like that.
I think I have seen this.
Just basically like a pimp.
Yeah.
And so it's them trying to get revenge on him after he broke up with all of them. And it's got the girl from One Tree Hill. She's also in Chicago PD.
Brittany Snow, Jesse Metcalf, Ashanti.
Oh, Ashanti was in there?
Sophia Bush.
Sophia Bush is the girl I was talking about.
Okay. I don't know who
Jesse Metcalf, I believe, was in Desperate Housewives for a while. Pretty sure about that.
Who's John Tucker?
Jesse Metcalf.
Jesse Metcalf, sorry. Yeah. My bad.
I thought that was a girl. And now there's other movies that I loved as a kid and I still like now because of Reverence, but that's one that I was probably 2021 when it came out. It's a piece of trash, but I like it. It's fun. It's stupid.
Okay.
It's so bad. It is so bad I like it.
Okay.
So that's fair.
Yeah.
John Tucker Must Die. You want to watch a... Actually, now it seems creepy to me because I was 21 at the time and they were playing high school girls. But now that I'm in my mid-30s, I look at it like, you creep.
Yeah.
Can't go back and watch this. But that was Ashanti, huh?
There's other movies.
Sure. There's plenty of other movies.
I always thought that the writing... in The Notebook was really good.
I've never seen The Notebook. I've never seen...
Really good writing.
Titanic.
I like how that story unfolded.
Okay. Watching old people have memories of when they're young, right? That's kind of...
Yeah, but you
she
didn't
has
know,
Alzheimer's or something
yeah,
like
but
that?
You didn't know it was them for a while, but probably you should have.
You're just a Ryan Gosling guy.
I'm a Ryan Gosling guy. I'm a Rachel McAdams guy.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
now, for Rachel McAdams, Notebook or Mean Girls?
See, I never saw... I thought she was really good-looking in Wedding Crashers.
She was amazing in Wedding Crashers. Go watch Mean Girls.
She's younger then,
right? You've never seen Mean Girls? It's actually really good. It's straight up good. Because Tina Fey wrote it. And she's pretty damn funny.
Well, was Lindsay Lohan in
that? Lindsay Lohan's the main girl.
Uh-huh.
And then there's... what was her name? You just said it?
Rachel McAdams.
Rachel McAdams playing Regina, like the meanest
the
of
meanest
the Mean Girls.
The meanest of the Mean Girls. Okay.
And then there's two other girls that you would recognize. I can't pick out their name. One was the youngest girl in Party of Five. And the other one is the bug-eyed girl from Ted 2.
I don't remember the bug-eyed girl.
She's very pretty. She's got like, huge eyes.
Huge eyes.
Huge eyes.
Okay. Okay. So,
there's some for you. John Tucker Must Die and Mean Girls. Apparently, I like high school movies a little too much.
That's interesting. All right, we'll file that away. Okay, so the Patriots play their final preseason game this week. Next week, you're off. I will be with Nick Coit for 4 hours, and then we'll be back together.
Yes, sir.
4 hours with Nick Coit.
Have fun.
Oh, boy. What do I need to know about Nick Coit? Somebody tell me something. How was he today?
He was fine.
Okay.
He was fine.
Me and
really
Nick
Coit. Nice guy. Don't close your eyes.
He does a good Belichick impression.
If you close your eyes, you won't remember. Am I talking to Nick or am I talking to Andy Hart?
Okay.
So keep your eyes open.
He sounds
so
like
you
Andy
know.
Hart. I'm gonna just make him do impressions.
Yes.
Just Belichick impressions, Brady impressions, Boston sports fan impressions.
Have him work on his Peter Griffin from Family Guy.
Does he do a Peter Griffin impression?
I don't know if he knows he does it. But
you think
he
looks like Peter Griffin? Is that what you're saying?
No. When he was doing that kind of Boston
douche
voice,
he just translated
kind
of
Peter Griffin.
Okay. Okay. The Boston. Okay.
Boston douche voice.
I'll have him do some impressions. Nick Coit and I, 4 hours next week. Kitch is back.
Yes, sir.
After the first, it'll be the right before the first Patriots regular season game.
Yes.
That's Saturday before. So we'll be back.
And we're on during the football season.
And we're on every week this year during the football season, which will be spectacular.
Oh, thank God.
Coming up next, Hart and James. All right. This is the Mark and Kitch Show, 103.7 WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.